Almost didn't get to preach tonight. We had a lady that, distant family, I guess, that overdosed on Tylenol purposely a few days ago. And so things of this world get hard on people sometimes. And it hit me harder than I thought it would, because she's not really a good friend, but she was a friend and an acquaintance. So I can understand the prayer request. There's, I guess, a lot of people takes their own life, but it hits you harder when it's somebody you know. So really puts things in perspective. And so let's really keep those in prayer. There's a lot of people going through a lot of hard times right now. I appreciate what Brother Jeff said Sunday morning, and this is what I took home with me. And you may think it's strange that this was the main thing I took home, but Brother Jeff said it's what happens and how you act in your hard times, it's what's going to count. And that's when people's really watching you, is when things are going wrong. And so I appreciate our dear pastor. I appreciate being in the meeting last night. I had to leave early, but it was a good meeting until I left. And so the book of 1 Peter, if you'd like to look with us. I've had this scripture about a week or two. And so I've just been itching to preach it somewhere. And I'm thankful Brother Jeff gave me the opportunity tonight. And so if you'd like to stand with us, chapter 1, 1 Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Brother Jeff, will you lead us one more time in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again tonight. Thank you,
Lord, thank you for this day and all that you've done for us. We thank you for salvation. We're not calling on our family.
God,
as we bow before you, we ask you tonight to help us, Father, through the message. Bless, Lord, the congregation that's gathered here. Help us, Lord, tonight, Father, to release ourselves, Lord, into your hands, and, Father, preach the power of the Spirit tonight. And God, we ask you, Lord, to help us and forgive us for anything, Lord, we've done wrong, clear our minds and our hearts, Lord, of any wickedness and, Father, dirtiness. And help us, God, tonight, Lord, just to allow us, Father, the freedom, Lord, and the liberty, Father, that we can experience only through your Spirit tonight. God, be with us and help us and use us for honor and glory. Touch us, Father, and bless each one that's gathered here tonight. God, I ask you to bless our dear pastor, Lord, touch him and use him as he works here. Lord, bless my family, my children, Lord, my wife, and Father, I ask you to save our children at a young age. God bless all the lost, Lord, that are here tonight, Lord, that they might be saved before it's everlasting too late. God, I ask you to God bless, Father, each one going, Lord, forth here and now, Father. through this country, carrying your gospel. Bless them, Lord, I pray. Bless our leaders. Help us to be with us tonight, Lord, and bless this message. Father, help us tonight in Jesus' name.
Yes, God.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I just had to read that whole portion. Really, the thought that we've got tonight, or the message, would be about Peter's trial. And so really, we could have started in verse number 7, but I'm probably going to be doing a lot of reading. And so I wanted to read this portion of the Scripture while we stood together and read the Word. And it starts out how Peter talks about all these good things about the Lord and how He's blessed, and this inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and will never fade away. And he said, we greatly rejoice in these things. He said, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. And so he said, even though for just a little while you need to go through temptations and trials, we've got something good waiting for us after a while. And so he says that, he said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so Peter, I guess, if you ask me, would probably be the best person to have this in the book of 1 Peter about a trial. Peter was a man that faced a great trial of his faith back in the Gospels we read about. And I'd like to go into that for just a few minutes if I can, but I just got a couple of things I want to get out before I get into all that. This word here that deals with trial, chapter number 1, verse number 7, says that the trial of your faith, that trial there is dealing with kind of a proving place in your life, a place where God, or it's a trial to prove who you really are. And it's a trial to prove, I guess, kind of like, in essence, like the trials we have today, if you think about a trial in a courtroom. And if you go to a courtroom and you're the one that is either pleading guilty or not guilty, the job of the trial and the purpose of the trial is to prove one way or the other who you are. And whether you're guilty or whether you're innocent, or whether you're right or whether you're wrong. And it proves whether you're genuine or whether you're a fake. Amen. And that's the purpose of a trial. And so that's what's going on in Peter's talking about here tonight, is a trial and proving whether we are who we say we are. Amen. He says, for just a little while, you're going to have to go through manifold temptations. If need be, it's going to happen. You know it's necessary. We're all going to have to go through these trials of faith. And he says, but the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold. And he said, even though it's hard and it's tried with fire, he said, one of these days it's going to be found to give praise and honor and glory to God. Amen? So let's look and see what Peter knew about trials. And I want to start in the book of Mark, chapter number 8. Why in the world did a man like Peter have the authority to talk to us about trials of faith? This was a man that walked with Jesus Christ as he came in a bodily form on this earth and lived, and he saw the miracles that Jesus did, and he experienced the things that some of the other disciples were not allowed to experience. Peter was one of the ones, first ones to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Peter was one of the ones that was invited to go to the great Mount of Transfiguration and see the Lord in glory before he ascended. Peter had some great experiences with the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. How did Peter have any authority to talk to us about trials and tribulations? I'm going to show you here tonight with the help of the Lord. In chapter number 8 of the book of Mark, verse number 27, the Bible said, Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, or Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Now that's the great eternal question that you've heard preached a million times. Who do you say he is tonight? And we're going to find out who Peter said he was here in just a second. But if you'll pause just for a second and think about who do you say he is tonight? If you're a Christian, you may have some other opinion about Jesus than a non-Christian does. Or a believer and an unbeliever, a saved person, a lost person's got two perspectives on Jesus. And he was asking, and he wasn't really, probably didn't care so much about what other people said, but he wanted to know who his disciples say he is. And so he said that the Bible says, Peter answered. Amen? Notice that. It don't talk about any of the other disciples, and I know this is simple, and it may, you know, I don't know, maybe the other disciples said something first, I don't know. But the Bible says that Peter answered and said unto him, Thou art the Christ. That means the anointed one. The Messiah that was promised to come, in him saying that he's the Christ, Peter was saying, Lord, I believe that you're everything that was promised in the Old Testament to us. Amen? And he said, he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And listen to this. Now, this is when Jesus began to teach this to his disciples. The Bible says this is the first time that I can find in the book of Mark. He said, then he began to teach them in verse 31. That the Son of Man must suffer many things. And be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes. And be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. Now that's a different take than Jesus usually took on speaking to people. Usually it was kind of hard to understand. They didn't really know exactly what he's talking about sometimes. Yeah. Jesus spoke to them in parables, and he spoke to them in a way to where really a lot of them just didn't have a clue what he's talking about. You'll find, my friend, the one time he told them that unless you eat of my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And so they said, oh, good enough, we can't eat your flesh and drink your blood. They thought he was talking about cannibalism. Yeah, they didn't know what he's talking about. And so here he speaks openly to them. And he speaks plainly. And he says, and the Bible says that he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And now the Bible's not very clear on this, why he rebuked him. But if I could speculate with you just for a moment, you might agree with my speculation. I don't know. But I just speculate that Peter began to rebuke him for one of a few reasons. Either it was that Peter just had it in his heart and really believed that Jesus was going to eventually be accepted by those men. It could be that Peter just assumed that Jesus was going to be accepted by the chief priests and elders and those that were the scribes and all those people. It could be that Peter just assumed that eventually Jesus was going to be accepted by everybody. It could be. Or it could be that Peter just flat out didn't believe him when he said, I'm going to go and suffer these things and be killed and be raised the third day. Whatever the reason he began to rebuke him, the Lord said, after he turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. That's the reason that I draw the conclusion that he still was looking maybe more for an earthly kingdom than the spiritual kingdom that Jesus came to set up. That's kind of the reason I lean more towards that Peter just didn't really believe that. Amen. And you know what? You know, the Bible talks about Thomas being the one that doubted. But there was some doubt in Peter's heart, if you ask me. And that's not, I know that's just my opinion, and I'm just a man. But it seems to me like Peter had a little bit of doubt about what Jesus was saying. Enough so to where he took him to the side and started to rebuke the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Right after he confessed and said, Lord, you're the Christ. Amen. Pretty much saying, Lord, I believe anything you say. And then he turns around and rebukes him. Can you imagine? So then let's go on in chapter number 14. And now it's getting down to the place where the Lord has been taken. And if you read in the book of John, the Bible says that Peter told him, and I believe it might say here in the book of Mark too, but the Bible says that Peter told him, he said, "I'll never leave you, Lord." And the Lord told him, he said, "You're all going to go away." He said, "No, Lord, I'm not going to do it." Peter said, "Even if I have to die with you, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you." He was doubting him again, wasn't he? Amen. He was doubting what the Lord had to say. It didn't matter that the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven and said it. He was going to disagree with it. Amen. And Peter doubted what the Lord had to say. He said, "No, I'll never deny you." And the Lord said, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows twice tonight." And Peter said, "No, not me." Look in chapter number 14. Look at verse number 53. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the book of John gives us a little bit different a depiction of this scene right here. It says that there was another disciple that went with Jesus. Did you know that? There was another disciple that went all the way even into the court with Jesus. And it was a disciple who the high priest knew, according to the Bible. And so I don't know who it is. Some people assume that it might have been Nicodemus, amen. The one that came to him at night and asked him, "How can I?" And the Lord told him, "You must be born again." I don't know who it was. The Bible don't make it clear. But I like to think about it, amen. And so here Peter was, and he got to the door, and the Bible says even into the court. And down in verse number 66, the Bible says, as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth." And he denied in verse number 68, saying, "I know not, neither understand what thou sayest." You know what Peter was doing? He was playing this language card. Have you ever talked to a Spanish person? I'm not saying this in a derogatory way. Please don't misunderstand me. But have you ever talked to a Spanish person and they say, "I don't know English. I don't know English." Amen. "I don't understand what you're saying." And sometimes I picked up on that phrase, Brother Jeff, and I'll say, "No hablo español." Amen. That's kind of what Peter was doing right here. He said, "I don't know what you're talking about. I can't understand you." Amen. I don't know what language this woman was speaking, but I believe Peter knew what she was talking about. But instead of, he just played dumb. Have you ever done that? Peter just played dumb. He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Amen. There's been times in my life, I'll confess, if nobody else will, tonight that I played dumb. Somebody will say, "What do you know about this?" "I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about." Amen. I ain't done it when I've been right with God, but I've done it. Amen. And that's what Peter was doing. He doubted the Lord, and now he's denying the Lord. He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And he went on out to the porch, and the cock crew. Amen. Can you imagine how Peter must have felt? And a maid saw him in verse number 69 and began to say to them that stood by. The first time a maid spoke directly to Peter and said, "You were with Jesus too." He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." It may have been the same maid, I don't know, but some maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." Amen. Can I say tonight that it'll tell on you if you've been with the Lord? Amen. I just had to drop it in. Verse number 70, the Bible says he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them. For thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." But you know what Peter did? Instead of saying, "All right, you got me. Fine, I'm a disciple. Okay, leave me alone." Amen. Instead of that, Peter started to curse. Amen. And to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom you speak." And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him,
before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice or three times. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Do you know what kind of trial Peter was going through right here? Think about this for just a second. Jesus Christ came by the shores one day and saw Andrew, if I've got the story right, and said, come and follow me. And Andrew told Peter, we've found the Messiah. This is the one we've been looking for. And Peter dropped everything and followed this man. Now maybe at that first meeting to Peter, Jesus may have just been a man. Maybe to Peter, Jesus was just a man that he wanted to come and see about. Amen. You know, that was a great testimony from the woman at the well. Come see this man who's told me all things ever I did. And that's kind of what Andrew did. Said, come see him. And Peter dropped what he was doing and went and saw Jesus. But as Peter walked with the Lord, Jesus eventually became not only just a man or just a friend or just a master, which in those days meant a great teacher, but Jesus became his redeemer. He redeemed him from fishing for fish, took him out of that life and made him a fisher of men. Jesus became his rejoicing. He rejoiced about being with the Lord. Amen. But the biggest problem that Peter had right here was that Jesus was his religion. Do you get that? Jesus was his religion. He changed religions from Judaism unto Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ was Peter's religion. It was everything he banked his soul on. That's who Jesus was to Peter. And he just could not believe, Jeff, that Jesus was going to die. This was his religion. This is who he banked his life on. His whole existence depended on Jesus Christ. It was his religion. Your religion is Christianity. Your soul is banked on what Jesus did on Calvary. Can you imagine walking personally with the Lord for 3.5 years and watching men come and arrest him, grab him away, take him to be tried and killed? His religion was dying, Brother Jeff. And he couldn't handle it. Amen. That's all he saw. That's all he saw was, my religion is wrong. I've been wrong for 3.5 years. I've been wrong. That's where Peter was. That was Peter's trial of faith right there. He said, I've been wrong. 3.5 years. I've been walking with this man. I left my wife, my children, my job to follow this man to walk with him wherever he went. And he's going to die. This is it. This is the end of it. What was I thinking for 3.5 years to believe that this man was who I thought he was? That's where Peter was. And the Bible says that Peter did follow him afar off. Some people will take that in a bad way, but the only other disciple I see following Jesus was that disciple that was not named. Amen. So at least Peter knew enough to follow him somehow, even if it was afar off. But Jesus died. He was tortured, mutilated, and died. And I don't know, the Bible won't say, but I can imagine that Peter watched him die. And the man that he put his stock in, everything he had, Peter watched him die. But 3 days later, some women went down to the tomb to try to anoint the body of Jesus. And they found the stone rolled away. Like he promised. Amen. And listen to this. The Bible said in chapter number 16, entering into the sepulcher, verse number 5, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. Good news, he is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. And listen to what this man in white had to say to those women in verse number 7. They said, go your way and tell the disciples and Peter. Did you get that? Go your way and tell the disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee like he promised. Amen. That's what he told them he was going to do. He said, I'm going to die. They're going to come get me. I'm going to die 3 days later. I'm going to rise and I'm going to go before you into Galilee. That's what he said. And now this man in white says, go your way. Tell the disciples and Peter. Brother Jeff, I don't know. And I know I'm preaching a lot of speculation tonight, but this scripture leads me to believe that Peter must have left. He must have said, that's it. That's over. I'm done. Because the disciples were in a certain place, according to the way I take this, and Peter was in another place. He said, go tell the disciples and Peter. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question. Christians, have you ever felt like giving up? Have you ever had such a great trial of faith? I mean, your faith being tried. Not just your car tears up and you have a little trial or a temptation to sin. Or you look at somebody of the opposite sex that's attractive to you and you're tempted to sin. I'm talking about, have you ever had a trial of your faith where your core beliefs have been tried? Peter did. Amen. So did all the disciples. But Peter was greatly affected by this trial of faith. Insomuch that it wouldn't surprise me if Peter left the disciples and went away. Said, I can't handle it. And was done with this religion. But I'm thankful that the Lord wanted him to go get Peter. Amen. And let Peter know that he was alive and well. Amen. Aren't you glad that even though sometimes we decide we're going to quit on God, he never decides he's going to quit on us. Well, I'm so thankful that even though sometimes I say, God, I'm turning my back on you for today. I'm not going to go by your rules. I'm just going to do my own thing today. He's never done that to me. He's never turned his back on me. And the scripture gives us a great promise, and I think we overlook it sometimes, brother. It says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what God said. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter what I've done. He said, I will never. Amen? I can't say never, Brother Jeff, because as soon as I say never, it's going to happen the next day. Amen? You never say never. Amen? But God can say never and really mean it. And God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Amen? And I'm glad he didn't forsake Peter, even though Peter forsook him. What a great trial of faith Peter had. But that trial of faith, he told us, is more precious than gold. Amen? He said, even though it's tried with fire, you know that's the way you got to try gold and to prove gold and to get out there the bad stuff. Amen? Is to put it in fire and heat it up enough to where the bad stuff and the imperfections float up to the top and you can get them out of the gold. That's how you try gold. That's how you prove gold is in fire. And he said, your faith is more precious than gold. Even though it's tried with fire like gold is, it's more precious than gold. Amen? And he said, and it's going to be found to give honor and praise and glory to God one of these days. Look with me in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. I know y'all know where I'm going with this, but it's what I had on my heart. It's probably been a pretty predictable message. That's all right, too. Acts, chapter number 2. Notice verse number 12. The Bible says that They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." Now you know what I'm talking about here. You've all read this scripture 100 times. It's the day of Pentecost. And these were speaking in other tongues, other languages. And these men were all able to understand them in their own language. And they said that they were all amazed and they were in doubt. And they mocked them and said, "These men are full of new wine." But look who stood up. Bible says in verse number 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words." Well, what a great beginning to a sermon. Amen. Boy, I wish I had that kind of power. I'd just start every sermon that way. But Jim, "Ye men, hearken to my words." Amen. Peter said, "Listen to what I've got to say to you." He didn't have any doubt anymore, Brother Jeff. They had doubt, but Peter didn't have any doubt anymore. Peter didn't have any denial anymore. All that distress from him thinking his religion was over with, and he had been wrong, it was all gone. Because every time Christ proved himself to be true, amen, he'll do the same thing in our life. God will always prove himself to be true. Whether we want to believe him or not, that's up to us. Amen? We've been studying in Sunday school, and I still have that opinion. It's up to you and me to make the choice to decide whether to believe it or not. And so we go back to Jesus' question, who do you say that he is? Do you say that he's the God that will never forsake you, no matter what you're going through? If you don't, you need to, because he is. Amen. Maybe you say, "Well, he's mom and daddy's God. He's my neighbor's God. He's all these other people's God." Maybe you say Jesus was the Christ. He was the man that came and God in bodily form, and maybe you know other things about him. But you can't say he's mine tonight. That's a decision you'll have to make. Ain't that right? And you have to make that decision when he's drawing you. You know, I like how God draws people. Even after you're saved, God will draw you. Amen? He's drawn me to certain things, Brother Jeff. He drew us here, and I'm glad that he did. Brother Jeff had a drawing to come here to be your pastor. If he didn't, he wouldn't have done it. God will do some drawing to us. And if you resist God, it'll be kicking and screaming. Amen? You ain't just going to say, I don't want that. Because God's going to be the kind of drawing where you're going to have to really resist him. Amen? You're really going to have to put your heels in the dirt to keep from coming to him. Amen? If you resist God. So tonight, as they come with the verse of a song, if you've never had this kind of trial of your faith, I wouldn't be surprised if it ever happens. It's happened to a lot of us. And if you've never had that point in your life where you just questioned everything, you're going to. And that's when you're going to grow. Your faith will be increased by that. And God will get glory out of it. So rest assured of that. If you're here tonight and lost, you've never made that decision to make Christ the Lord of your life, come now, make that decision.